when we were hiring for junior roles, we didn't expect anyone to know the frameworks, you know, so we didn't expect anyone to know how to prioritize well, or what the Kano model is, how to innovate, how to write hypotheses and test them.
Hello and welcome to Reasonable Products. Today I've got with me Bushra Koskuner, and I'm sure I said your name wrong, but you will correct me.
No, the first name was perfect, but I just don't let people try the last name. You know, just that's fine.
Yeah, so that's what I thought, by the way. You call it Bushra all along and forget your last name anyway.
Yeah.
And Bushra is product coach and trainer and educator. And before that, you have been working and in the industry and holding different product leadership positions. But today, what I really would like to discuss with you is more about your latest stage of activities, so more about continuous learning and how can we help people in the industry, product professionals, to continuously develop. But before I speak too much, Bushra, welcome.
And thank you.
Would you like to introduce yourself probably a little bit better than I did?
Sure. Thank you. Thank you for having me. And yeah, about the last name, it's if you wanted to pronounce it correctly, it would be Joshkunar, but just don't try. You know, just don't try. Yeah. So I'm a product coach, trainer, educator, as you said. So the main thing that I'm doing at the moment and focusing more and more is I'm coaching product individuals, mid-level, senior level product manager, to basically level up their game, master their craft, and become more senior in their role, and also get the next role. I am offering workshops for product teams to kick things off, to get them started, and then accompany them to apply those things in practice. And then the third thing that I'm doing more and more of is I'm creating courses. So I'm running a product strategy and road mapping course at a university here in Switzerland. I'm running a product analytics bootcamp online, and some more are in planning. So let's just keep it. Let's keep this mystery so far.
Yeah, let's keep some mystery until then. But I hope I will be able to get some more from you what you're planning. But I mean, I still have got time for this.
Yeah, Bushra, as you've heard, I'm in Switzerland. I'm originally from Berlin, so I am a bit of the people, you know, who talk no bullshit, like from the DNA, which is a bit difficult when you're in Switzerland, because in Switzerland, people try to be very polite in the way how they're saying things, and they're not very direct, not very open and direct. But as a Berliner, you tend to be open and direct, and that's also what I stand for, right? Talking no bullshit product management, that's my thing.
I like the no bullshit thing, and about different cultures. Just before this one, I was hosting a podcast about different cultures. It's true, we didn't really focus on difference between Switzerland and Germany. But what I see is that every country is different. So I'm going to take for this, I mean, no bullshit today, at least. What I think is very interesting to have you today, Bushra, is because I think that I see in the industry more and more people coming to product management because it's sexy, because it was not so like probably 10 years ago, but today everybody would like to be a product manager. Nobody probably would like to be a project manager, even say in some cases they are doing the same, or they are just sugarcoating a different role into product management, but still people would like to be product manager. Why is it so? And what is your reading of the industry right now?
Oh, that's a very good observation. So to put it in context, I started with product management 12 years ago, maybe a bit longer. I stopped counting, to be honest. I started before I finished university, so I don't know. But I definitely agree this movement is happening. Back then, we didn't even know that, and it's just 10 years, yeah? Like, it's not a big time. So we know those people who have started 20 years ago, and now still 10 years ago, we didn't even know that the name of what we would be doing would be product management. So when I was looking for my first job, I didn't even know I had to look for the role of a product manager in order to do what I like doing, right? So And now I really want to be a product manager from my conversations. So I had lots of mentoring calls with people who tried to get into product management. From what they tell me, it is a mix of an understand or perception, let's put it this way, perception very carefully, that product managers are the people who make the decisions, right? So, and they want to become product manager because they want to be the person who makes all the calls and all the decisions on what should be built and what not on a product and how it should be. And that in every call, I have to really fix this perception because this is simply not true. We're not really making the final call, even if it looks like that.
That's funny, yeah.
We have to make it look like that. But actually, it's not true, right? So we can maybe talk about it in a second, because the second point that they're coming with is that they want to be creative and they want to contribute to how the product should work. And they, you know, it's not only having, like, it's not only making a decision, but it's also contributing with their ideas. And then I also have to correct this, because that's the worst thing that we can do, right? Just have an idea and throw it in and let it build. Like, this is not how it works. So, I mean, you can make it work this way, but it's not going to be successful, right?
So basically, when people come to you, they're saying, hey, Bushra, there are two reasons why I would like to be a product manager, because I make all the calls and I can be creative and get with my own ideas. And you tell them up front, no, you're not going to make the calls and it's not going to be your ideas, right?
Paraphrased, yeah.
Actually, how do they like it?
I think it's a mix of somehow they knew it, but they don't want to know it. They don't want to hear it. Or maybe they're like some people are like, yeah, I know, but this is how it looks like. And even having a little bit more of a say than what I'm doing now is better than nothing, right? So many people are software engineers and they're like, in the team that I'm working, like, there's nothing that I can do, and I can just say my concerns, and that's it. And most of the time, nobody's listening to me. Well, yeah, fail. That's a bad culture, right? That's a bad product culture. This is not how we work in a product-led company or in a product-led team, right? So, yeah, this should not be the case, but it is very often the case. But the solution to that is not becoming a product manager. The solution to that is working in a more product-led way, right? So that's a... That's one aspect. Other aspects are like designers who actually move who want to move into product management because they have this natural connection to it, right? So in this case, I'm more like, yeah, why not? Because they are already doing the stuff. Okay, wait, no, I have to rewind. No, that's not entirely true. What they think, like designers who want to transition to product management, is what they think is that they say, what I create should be built. And as a product manager, you know, the teams, again, paraphrasing, generalizing, right? So this is not true for all product for all product designers. This is like from the conversations that I have, right? And also not all conversations, but the majority of them. And they say what I create should be built. And I know why, because I'm the person who's talking to the customers, and I know that this is what they want and this is what they need. And when I become a product manager, then I'm the one who can make this happen. And then I, again, have to correct them and be like, look, this is not how the product management world works. Because once you're a product manager, design is one aspect that you have to take into account when you make a decision. But there's a whole business aspect. There's the stakeholder management. There's the technical feasibility. There's like lots of many things, lots of many reasons why you will not be able to build your stuff, your design, once you're a product manager. And that's going to become your new hard truth. There's a reason why product managers behave like this. There's a reason why they not build everything, right? Well, wait, we are not building. But like, why we say we should not build this, not now or not ever, right? So there's a reason we don't do this, because we want to be mean. We don't do this because we are stupid and don't see what's happening. There are reasons, right? And once you're a product manager, you will understand these reasons, right? So whether it's a software engineer, product designer, or other roles, like there's a marketing person who wants to move, right? A salesperson who wants to move, that's also fine. But the first thing that I tell them is, look, if you really consider to move into a product manager role, first of all, try it out. And I don't mean like build side projects. Like that's the number one advice that everybody tends to give people who want to transition into product management, right? Build a side project. In order to learn and apply frameworks and so on and get the thinking of how to combine building a product and selling it, etc., maybe yes, but not for the type of things like stakeholder management or relationship management or prioritizing when you're not the only person who is working on this thing, right? Like for these kind of things, go to the product manager in your company and ask them if you can shadow them, if you can spend some time with them and see what they're doing, how they're doing. Something like a peer work thing, or help them, really actively help them. Hey, do you need help? I can help you with XYZ. And then try to understand how it's working, and then think about it again if you really want this.
So
it's a very tough job in the end. So it's a very, very tough job. And I think people are underestimating how difficult the job is.
So what I'm hearing, Bushra, if he's correct, is that first of all, so lesson number one, when they come to you, say, hey, can you help me become a product manager? The first check or the first lesson is becoming a product manager for the good reasons and not because of what you idealize the product manager to be. And second is to sign and say, yeah, I understand it's going to be very hard. I'm not going to do this because it's a shortcut to take a decision. I understand what it entails. Is this so?
Absolutely. 100%. Yes.
In your, let's make this metric up, but in your experience, how many of those would start coaching with you would survive this test? or if you extrapolate to the overall world, say, how many of those are turned down by understanding what it really means?
So these conversations are not my coaching conversations because I don't coach aspiring or junior product managers. I coach mid-level and senior-level product managers. So I cannot tell you. I don't have a measure for you.
But you can still send them back to square number one, right?
Sorry, say again?
You can still send them back to square one.
I could.
Are you really sure you want to do that?
Do you really like your job?
Do you really like it?
Rate from 0 to 10. Yeah, so this is from mentoring conversation. So I've been quite a long time a mentor at the mentoring club, on the mentoring club. On, at, in, I hate prepositions. I'm sorry, as a non-native. So mentoring club, and then I also offer free conversations as well. So I've had some free conversations as well. So it's from that. So therefore,
right.
I cannot say anything about the metric.
So
it's like one-time conversations.
Yeah, but it's safe to assume that there are people who are turned off by understanding what it really means. So either they're going to understand by somebody telling them, or they're just going to face it in the industry, facing in their job, and say, oh, I didn't really realize at the beginning this is what it's going to be like to be a product manager.
It's an assumption. I cannot say
right.
So I'm a data-informed decision-making person, right? So therefore, I can only say it's an assumption.
I'm testing you.
Yeah, sure. I don't really know. I receive from time to time, I receive messages on LinkedIn saying like, hey, I wanted to let you know that I finally made it into product management, which is super cool, right? So sometimes I don't even notice that I had or I still have an effect on people to get into the job. So that therefore, like, it makes my day when I read this, right? But other than that, I really don't know what's happening with
right
all of those people. There it was like really a lot of conversations, right? I feel already good enough, let's say, when I tell them the hard truth about the role, if they want to embrace this, or if they want to, I don't want to say neglect, but leave it, in the back of their heads and just be like, okay, I want to find it out. Fair enough, right? So that's their decision. That's their choice. I wished back then somebody told me, how difficult this job is. But again,
But
we didn't even know that it was
right. We don't want to tell people. We don't want to tell people not to do that. So let's assume for a second you did it. You jumped and you're happy you did it, right? So let's assume.
Oh, I'm still happy I did it.
And not only you, like everybody who did it.
Tough love.
Right. What is from your observation now? What is the one thing that, you know, beside the fact of understanding why you're doing this and what is your driver to be a product manager? So if we go more, let's say, on the hard skill or on the job function itself, what is the one thing that you observe that people really are lacking or that really benefit the most when somebody, you know, helps them from the outside say, you should probably be focusing more on A, B, and C?
Soft skills wise or hard skills wise?
Everything.
I think aspiring product managers who want to get into the job think too much about the frameworks.
Mm-hmm.
Frameworks are important, methods are important, techniques are important. We should know them, not all of them and not in every detail, not very deep, but we should know what to Google for when we need something, right? Or what to ask ChatGPT when we need something. When you want to get into the job, it's less about the framework. So when I was hiring, when we were hiring for junior roles, we didn't expect anyone to know the frameworks, you know. So we didn't expect anyone to know how to prioritize well or what the Kano model is, how to innovate, how to write hypotheses and test them, how to pick even the right test for the right hypothesis. We didn't even expect that. The only thing that we expected was, hey, you should be open for learning. So unlearn what you think you know and be open for learn how it really is. Be curious. Have good communication skills. That's very important, right? So communication is very, very important. And also the thing that nobody has nailed, so whatever. And basically show us that you've had touch points with product management. Why? So now we get back to what I said initially, right? So we want to make sure that you kind of know what you're going into, right? So if you've done like a lot of an example from one of the people we had interviewed back then at Doodle, was a marketing manager, right? So the CV was full of lots of marketing steps, and it would not really say anything about a touch point in product management. So the first idea was, no, we don't talk to her because there's no touch point. I don't remember why, but we still decided to talk with her, and it really turned out she's got lots of experience in marketing but no touch point with product management. And then it was like clear after the first call that it's not a fit. So if you've done a lot of SEO optimization, or if you know how to run Google ads and ad campaigns and whatever, this is nice, but that's a marketing role. It's maybe a product marketing role. I can't really say, but it's not a product manager role. But then there were a lot of other candidates who had some things in their CV, right? So the one, I don't know, led a project. Yes, I will say project. Even in product management, we still work with projects, and that's fine. So there was maybe a project or an initiative, however you want to call it, in order not to call a project, right? that's the no bullshit part. It's still a project. Anyways,
I love it.
They maybe led an initiative, and this was the first time that this person had to have this middle person role, right, to talk with the engineers and with the business to get the needs right and to understand what needs to be built and the prioritize and so on and so forth. Although this person was actually located in sales, yeah? True CV story. Account manager, but had this initiative, and we're like, okay. So this guy already felt the pain of, you know, balancing stakeholder needs with what's actually doable and what actually makes sense from the user side as well. So there is already some nerves burned, you know. So that's good. These kind of things, right? So that's what we want to see. Did you already burn one or two fingers, right? So if yes, then you know probably what it's really right. going to be about.
So I'm summarizing.
As I mentioned, like communication skills and curiosity, openness.
So let me summarize the first three lessons I heard. One is understand the reason why you're doing this and be sure it's the right reason. The second is forget the frameworks. It's not about the framework. It's about the mindset. And the third one is if you've done something in the past that looks like product management, bring this up. And this is going to be what you're going to be hooked to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just to give you another example, you don't even have to apply for a junior job if you have done enough things that give you enough touch points. A friend of mine, she went from a role... I helped her to pimp her CV, of course, but not to pimp it, but because I know she did a lot of things that a product manager would do. Like in every role she would have before, she would do something, not only just something, like a lot of things that a product manager would do. So if you had asked me, I would have said like she had two roles in one job, right? So I made sure that these points are very visible in every single career step. And when she transitioned to her first official product manager role, then she immediately started as a senior product manager because she had like lots of things already, right? So that's just to make sure it's not only for the very junior ones.
You can jump for the others, right? If you've got the right hooks, what you're saying, you can jump. You don't need to apply for an associate or junior product manager if you've got enough meat to show that you know what it means.
Absolutely.
One of the things that struck me in this conversation is that it looks like, it might be right or wrong, but it looks like many of people who ask to be coached, they do that because they want to change jobs. So the large part of this conversation, I've got the impression, is in the direction of how do I go to my next role somewhere else? How do I pimp my CV? How do I make myself attractive? Do people come just because they want to do better in the current job, or they just want to evolve, but not necessarily from a ladder perspective, rather from a how do I do this job right perspective?
I think this is selection bias now.
Potentially.
We started the conversation with the aspiring product managers, right? And that's why I keep talking about those. So as I mentioned, I don't coach them.
Those are the ones you don't coach, actually.
Sorry, say again?
Those are the ones you don't coach, actually. So there is a wide word out of this. Okay, so let me get out of the bias. It's good because you have to recognize the bias. So that's the test, right? If you recognize the bias, then you can go out of this and re-enlarge your point of view on looking not only at the ones that you were mentioning you don't usually coach, which are people trying to jump from, you know, at the beginning of their career, but probably go into the vast majority, which are the other ones which are already product managers and want to improve, right?
Yeah, which is very interesting to see that they seem to be pretty alone on their journey. So there is this group of aspiring and junior product managers. I'll just put them in one box, but as I mentioned, there are also the aspiring ones who are senior, right? So, but I'm just talking about the ones who are not yet product managers and the ones who are very new into product management. And they have like lots of mentoring opportunities. There are lots of communities where you can actually exchange on the very basic stuff. There are lots of courses how to do X, Y, Z, right? And then there's the whole leadership part. So there are lots of product leadership coaches, leadership trainings, and that's kind of things. But the people in the middle, like the mid to senior level product managers, they have specific challenges. So as you say, it's a huge group of people, but that also means that it's a huge pot of challenges that they are facing because they're all very individual. So there is this stream of people who are actually very good with their soft skills, but they do want to learn more about specific frameworks because they get stuck in a specific task, but they don't know how to fix this. So now the framework, learning a framework itself is a solution to being stuck on a task, right? So that's the problem. But many times this is the solution because there is a framework in the world of thousands of frameworks in this framework channel. Chances are high that there is one framework, you know, that kills like five problems at the same time that you have. So, right? So there's this one thing. And if you know what it is, then you can go and find the right course for it and then learn it and apply it. Then there's the other type of people who are actually reaching out to me. It's more like senior level people who are stuck in their career. So it's a completely different challenge, right? So it's not I'm trying to do something but I can't. It's more like I'm stuck. This is it? Like, is this product management? Am I the right person for it? What else is out there? And also, what's next? Right? So they're at an edge, and they're like, what's next? I'm senior now, so should I become head of product next? And now we get into this conversation of the modern career paths, like becoming a principal product manager, for example, right? So unfortunately, in many companies, yes, next step would be head of product, unless you go to a more modern company or you suggest it to your company, you know, to not continue on the management path, but continue on the individual contributor path. Get this new title in your career, this new role of a principal or staff. So there's different ways, right? So different models. And yes, that this definitely comes with a pay raise, and this definitely comes with more responsibility. And it is a leadership position, but it's not a people management position, right? So there is a way to get there. But in order to fix that, we need to fix the companies. So we need to fix the organization structures in the companies, right? So that's the fix for what comes after senior. But the fix for I'm stuck, I don't know what to do next, is an individual coaching, right? So that's something that I do with them, for example. So we assess their strengths and well, I don't like talking about gaps, but this is how it feels. So strengths and gaps. And we talk about how to actually strengthen the strengths and how to use the strengths in order to fill the gaps. And for the gaps, what is out there? Maybe now we get back to the first point, right? Maybe it's a framework that they have to learn, and then they can find a course or reading material or this kind of things. Or maybe it turns into a skills coaching. It's also possible, right? So that's the other way. So we had frameworks because I need to do X, Y, Z, but I can't. And the other one is I'm stuck in my career. And then the other type is more like when they reach out to me and ask for help to actually kick something off. Right? So that's the workshop thing that I mentioned in the beginning. So one of the workshops, for example, that are very, very popular is an impact mapping workshop where we, for example, kick off either discovery or creating outcomes for their OKRs, or just, you know, having a structured way of brainstorming in order to make sure we find outcomes and outputs to meet the business goals, right? So there are like different ways. And then they get me in and I run the workshop, and then either I accompany them, for example, to create the OKRs out of that, or to make another ideation session for outputs or how to test the outputs, etc. Or they leave it there, and then I train them how to run another impact mapping session themselves, and then I leave. So it's the thing that mid and lead, senior level product managers understand that their product leaders are pretty busy and they cannot do this, right? So there are things that they're just too busy for, and they get me in to help
Got it. Right. So I hear two things, Bushra. So there are, when people come to you on new, assuming you have got a valid sample of the PM or product population, but assuming so, so we are out of the bias, they either come to you because they say, oh, I'm stuck, but in reality, it's not that they are stuck. In reality, it's the organization which is stuck, because the natural next step in evolution would be something the organization just cannot give because it's not there. The only position which is there is a people management position. And so then the fix is not the person. Probably the fix is more on the organization side of thing. And then the other categories of people who are stuck because they start lacking individual elements to progress on. Yeah. This may be something that, you know, you can unlock for a workshop with a workshop, or you can unlock with a particular framework or a particular technique or a particular way of addressing one specific situation they find themselves in face of, right?
Yeah. Where I have to say, like, this last point that you mentioned, so they lack a specific skill, knowledge, whatever, it's a matter of hard and soft skills, right? So it can also be a soft skill, and then it's not about a framework, but more about how to train or training how to become better at this or that soft skill. And then it needs an individual plan and then individual homework exercises together, looking at things together, and so on and so forth. The hard skill type is more of a, yeah, you can find courses about XYZ, right?
Right.
But then the reason for that, again, is twofold, right? So there's one reason is I want to progress in my career, but I notice that when I go into interviews or look into job ads, whatever, they ask for being good at, one thing that I hear most often is being good with data, right? Mm. Making database decision or make it, data-informed decisions and so on. How do I do that? So that's a very specific thing in order to progress and get to the next level in their career. Or internally, when their manager says, in order to grow in seniority, one thing that I hear very often is you need more strategic thinking. You need to be able to prioritize better with XYZ, or taking into account XYZ, do road mapping better, whatever, this kind of strategic stuff, right? Then there's the other part, the second type is I am in a new position now, and now I need to do XYZ, but I have no clue how. Another example, a friend of mine, again, she was saying, like, okay, I'm setting goals for my team, and my manager liked it so much that he asked me to set goals for the other teams as well. How the hell should I do this? How the hell can I set goals for other teams, right? This is what I mean. Like, they are in a specific situation now. They have a specific task to do, but they don't know how, right?
So, and Bushra, one of the topics I know we are both very conscious about, it's how to be sure that those difficult topics, because we talk about data, measuring, things which are almost hardcore, how do we make sure that there is enough room for them, that people have got enough brain space to absorb and want to go this way?
Whew, that's a tough one now. But it's a good one. I think the problem that we have at the moment, so there's a good and bad part, good and bad thing that is happening at the moment. So one thing is there is a lot more resources out there right now for product managers to absorb and to learn from, and so on and so forth. A lot of reading material, a lot of books from high-class people who have lots of experience, but also a lot of blogs, right? So, from people like me as well. But in general, from people like from anyone. And that's also the reason why I hesitated for quite a long time to create my own blog and my own newsletter. But you have to start somewhere to actually create some more signal in the noise, right? Because there's a lot of things happening. I personally, so here's the no bullshit approach, right? Again, I personally don't like to share fluff. Yeah, I do that from time to time because I have a philosophical question in my mind and I just have to bring it out and even get reactions in order to question my own brain, for example, right? My own thoughts. But now I have to talk about LinkedIn. I'm sorry for that, but I have to talk about LinkedIn because I'm not active on any other social media anymore. I noticed that there's lots of these things of LinkedIn post optimization, like the catchy, hooky titles, and you know, I'm going to write my first sentence in a negative way, and then I write a positive statement as a second line in order to attract people to click see more. Oh my God. Yes, it might work, but the problem when it's happening is that more and more posts are about complaining or setting unrealistic expectations or setting unrealistic scenes and baselines, which is simply not true or not changeable or maybe a wish or a dream, but we're not there yet, kind of. And anything that tries to actually address the actual situation of a PM's life is either not getting enough attention if it's written from a very genuine perspective, like without the hooks and so on, right? Or it is getting attention, but it's also criticized in a way that somebody writes a comment like, no, it should not be like that. Yeah, of course it should not be like that, but it is like that. Like, you can fight it as much as you want. It is like that. And now we need a way how to deal with it, right? And yeah, so how can we create more headspace to absorb the very important and hardcore stuff is maybe trying to have your own filters on and not to fall for the fluff around, generalizations or cookie wisdom, fortune cookie wisdom. Huh? That's it, right? So yes, we need that from time to time, you know, to relax our brains, but this is not what we should fill our brains with.
I think it's very important, Bushra, because otherwise you can do everything we spoke about today. But eventually, the reason why I think this is very much related to personal development and to learning is that you would not be, if you treat product management as a serious discipline, you're not going to Instagram to learn. If your kids come back and say, where did you learn this at school? So it was an Instagram account. You're not going to consider this serious learning. So sure, it's easy to digest, but it's potentially not what you're expecting to really get additional learning or critical learning. So if you say that you want to get to product management as a profession, and you have to understand that this, as you said before, it's going to be hard. And hard means that potentially is contradictory to easy digestible, hooky sentences you can read on LinkedIn. But potentially is also what is going to tell people who are really motivated to learn something from people who want to just follow the flow. So my personal take on this together is that, as you said, the signal to noise ratio is really not ideal, is really not easy to either to find or to communicate more profound thoughts about product management, but also about other topics today. But at the same time, and that's probably more the advice for people who are serious about that, do the extra mile and look for them. So do the extra mile and look for probably less accessible information, more profound information. Doesn't mean only very big books, but also elements that add value to you and not only elements that are fluffy. And
yeah. There are great people out there on LinkedIn to follow, right, who are really not following the hook stuff and really just sharing their knowledge, and you can learn a lot from these people. They typically do not have those, I don't know, 20,000 followers. Well, some of them have, because they're doing it, like sharing really knowledge bombs, right? The majority of those people who I follow do not have like 20,000, 30,000.
And I believe the reason for that is that the real power, again, if you compare this to a book, is that you want to get people who has got the hands-on. You want to get people who has got the time to do stuff. And then they can share, not a new framework, but something very concrete they've been doing the day before. I think this is very valuable. And these are things where you can get on LinkedIn or on any other connected platform or medium or whatever. Experience of people who's been doing this the day before on his own product, as opposed to people who, let's say for a living, they just generalize stuff without really hooking reality.
I'll be very honest with you. I unfollowed like two examples. I unfollowed two people who have lots of like incredibly lot of followers just because they were bullshitting, right? Like the one was saying something like, yeah, when you start building a three, because two of them said the same thing. Yeah, when you build a product, then build it, and then be your own customer and build it for yourself. Like, what? Like the worst advice ever, right? So you are not your customer. And like arguing even was like, oh my God, like somebody who shares this kind of bullshit. And then the other was like, okay, here are, I don't know, it felt like 5 million books within 5 days, and then you're going to have the same education level like an MBA. And I was like, oh my God, like, no, like no way ever. And like, so only because they have, like, as my no bullshit advice, only because somebody has like lots of followers doesn't mean that they're really sharing very valuable advice. Really filter it, you know, understand if it's maybe really bullshit or not. You know, if it's bullshit, you don't have to follow these people only because others do.
So be critical about the sources. That's the point. Be critical about the sources, exactly the same way you would do if you're learning any proper and fully qualified professional job, like a doctor would do. It would just filter the sources and not just apply anything which is written on social media, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so it looks like we had many topics to discuss with Bushra today. One episode is definitely not enough to go through all of this great content. So we're going to call it a day for now. And this is end of part one. In a few days, we're going to publish part two, where Bushra and I are going to discuss about the different tools and the different framework that are going to help make you a proficient product manager or product leader. So bear with us and let's meet again on Reasonable Product in a few days.